The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We continue. Final hour. It's been a busy man. What a show. We just had John Daly on. Coach Yeo from Ole Miss getting ready for the Sweet 16. Talked so much about all the big wins over the weekend. And let's get right back to the calls here. And Jack is in Houston. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Paul. Great interview with John Daly.
Thank you very much.
I love your guests today. They were all excellent.
Appreciate it.
And I'm here in Houston. Want to invite you down for the Final Four on April's Fool. Can you make it?
I might have to with all the entrants that may be heading that way.
Hey, I was hoping for an East Division showdown between Tennessee and Kentucky. That's not going to happen.
No.
Do you think Tennessee get out of that division?
I think Tennessee has a chance. The question with Tennessee, can they stay consistent? They're really dealing. I think they've got a reasonable bracket when you look at it. I think Arkansas may have gotten the toughest team of the SECs with having to play UConn in the next round, but for Tennessee, they overcome the Ziegler injury fairly well, but can they stay the course?
I know they were very physical against Duke. They looked excellent, but can they get through a rough division? I think they can. And about Arkansas, go Hogs. They've got a tough game coming up, but if they get by UConn, they can make some noise too.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Listen, Alabama has what's tantamount to a cakewalk, but that's only because of carnage elsewhere. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Ricky in Mississippi is up next.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Hey, Ricky.
I watched that Coach Yeo interview, and it was real good, man. I do pull for her, because I like small schools. I'm a state fan, of course.
And sure.
It reminds me of the time, what was it, 17, when state pulled up that upset against UConn.
Oh yeah,
and I think for me as a fan, I get it. Every fan wants to win. Every fan wants to go to the national title game and want to win a national title. But a lot of times it's the journey to me, that me as a fan enjoy being, because I look at it's a state 17,000 students is one of the smallest schools in the SEC, and we managed to hold our own at times, and that's, to me, that's what I like about it. Now, as far as those Kentucky fans with Calipari, I looked at that, and the landscape has changed, to me, with this portal, and he used to get the one-and-done players, and maybe that's what he's trying to get back to. And I understand that they talk about the number one recruiting class and how that work out for Texas A&M. So that's not a guarantee, But I don't know what they're gonna do about Calipari. I think he is a good coach, and sometimes it's the players too. Are they the right fit? Or do they have the right focus or mentality with this NIL going on now? I think that's what's happening with Saban in a way. How do you coach these kids? Because their mindset is different now, and I don't know if you can coach some guys. They may have 5-star beside their name, but that don't mean that they're coachable when it gets, because if they're getting these deals, getting money I don't know. Some of them are not going to pan out, I think. I mean, what do you think about that, Paul?
Yeah, I think NIL is changing every aspect of what we're doing here. And it's still early in the process. But I think ultimately NIL is going to eliminate some of the – especially in football. Basketball is impossible to predict because
right,
one player can completely turn the narrative around. But in football, it's a progression.
Right. If you look at, let's say, LSU women's, what's her name, Angel Reese?
Right.
I mean, she totally changed that team, man. You know, because last year LSU almost lost to Jackson State.
Right.
But now they're the number four team in the country. And like you say, the portal is good for basketball and football. But I think sometimes you have to look at the players and what type of player are you getting. Are they going to be able to mesh with other players, and are they going to be teachable? And because it wasn't like Saban didn't have a five-star team, but it's the fact that
Ricky,
you
can't undersell the recruiting, but you also have to be realistic that I think I saw this stat in Saban's last four recruiting classes, which were all top three classes. 42% of the players are gone. So it all depends on which one you lose. Now, he retained the two most important, Bryce Young and Anderson. But if you lose it's so unpredictable now because you don't know, how quickly can you develop a quarterback? If you don't develop him quickly, exactly, he is going to go on. Basketball, recruiting in basketball is so different than football.
Right, because you got so many players that can play, and because you're dealing with a smaller roster, you know?
Thank you very much for the call. Really good to have you on. Miss Pat is up next.
Hey, Paul, thank you for taking my call. I have 3 points to make before you cut me off. First, addressing the caller bracket. I am pitted against Jerome, who's actually a Twitter buddy of mine, and he's awesome. And I would abdicate to Jerome to keep from being embarrassed after I only get 2 votes. But it would be fun after a couple of rounds to see him pitted against I-Man if I-Man makes it past AJ from Pell City. My second point. John Daly interview was great. I remember we watched golf all the time. I think it was 1993 when he was walking down the fairway, swinging his towel with his mullet. And my parting note, if you play Tennessee, you better wear a helmet. Thanks, Paul. Bye.
You're right. They're pretty tough. But that's just what happens when you play a suffocating defense. Thank you for the call. Mike is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are doing great.
That's great. Hey, I want to ask you that one call a while ago talk about Tennessee. What's your thoughts on Tennessee Thursday night?
I feel really good about Tennessee Thursday night.
Yeah. Well, how far do you – hey, you know what? Let me make this statement right quick. I even saw it on the game day crew talking about officiating in that game with Duke. How do you feel about that?
I'll spare you the it's a complicated game to officiate, but it's the inconsistency of officiating that you get in the NCAA tournament that drives people crazy.
Well, I mean, it was physical. Tennessee played them. I mean, they took it to them. They took it to Duke. And Duke couldn't handle it. I mean, but I thought that was one of the best officiating basketball games I've seen. I think he done a good job.
Well, I have no problem with it, but I also think, I think Tennessee will advance against FAU. To me, I know FAU is playing the underdog card, but not going to help. Speaking of Tennessee, we'll talk a little bit about the football program as well. Camp is opening on Rocky Top, and we'll talk to Adam Sparks coming up in just a moment.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Questions seem to be the same every time we talk about Tennessee. Is Milton the answer at quarterback? What's the replacements of great wide receivers? Can the Vols repeat? Pick up the narrative for us as spring has sprung on Rocky Top.
Yeah, I mean, with Joe Milton, I think a lot changed with what he did at the end of last year after Hendon Hooker went down with the ACL tear. I mean, that was obviously a terrible thing for Hooker and the team. If you wanted to find a silver lining, it's that I think Joe Milton came out of it with more believability, if you will, as a starting quarterback. I think before that happened, you wondered if Joe Milton could be a starting quarterback in the SEC. After he played reasonably well against Vanderbilt and was then the MVP of the Orange Bowl and played even better than that, I think after that you said, okay, he can be an SEC starting quarterback. Now can he be a good one? And I think that's where he is in spring right now. I look at Joe Milton, especially what he did in the Orange Bowl, and I say this guy can be the quarterback of an 8-4, let's say a Tennessee team with an 8-4 record next year. Can he be the quarterback of a 10-2 team or a team that could beat Alabama again or that could challenge Georgia or maybe could win in the swamp? That's a bigger question, but I think it does speak to something that he probably moved up a level in what he did at the end of last year.
Let's talk about the compliments around him because, I mean, Hyatt was all world last year. There were other players that played big roles, but how does Tennessee look in the all-important position of wide receiver, which is essential in this Josh Heupel offense?
Well, we at least got a glimpse of it in the Orange Bowl. Cedric Tillman and Jalen Hyatt both opted out of that game, so you got Squirrel White, Ramel Keaton, Brew McCoy. That was the three wide receivers when they beat Clemson in the Orange Bowl. That could be their three starting receivers this next season. So you at least saw what the potential was there. They added Dante Thornton, who is a transfer from Oregon. He's going to be either on the outside of the slot, one of the two. I do think it's interesting with what Tennessee did in the transfer portal because sometimes you see teams just go into the portal and just get sort of the best available regardless of the position. Tennessee has a more stabilized roster now than they did a year ago and certainly when Josh Heupel took over 2 years ago. And they've sort of done one-for-one replacements in a lot of key positions. So they lost Jalen Hyatt. Well, Dante Thornton from Oregon is the new Jalen Hyatt. They lost Darnell Wright, their offensive tackle. They went and got Miami starting left tackle, John Campbell. They lost Princeton Fant at tight end. They went and got a tight end, McCallum Castle, out of the portal. And so, you know, if you look at those replacements, you can say, well, they're going a half a notch down with each of those. Those are downgrades. But they're only downgrades if you compare them to where those players were at the end of last year. If you compare them where they were a full year ago, those may not be downgrades because, you know, Jalen Hyatt a year ago was a solid backup who hadn't really proved himself. And you fast forward a few months and a great performance against Alabama and another win against LSU, and he's the best wide receiver in college football. It does sort of point to the fact that the idea that Josh Heupel can sort of plug and play with new guys and get similar results. At least that's the hope.
Adam, it seemed like there were times last year, even though Tennessee had a phenomenal season, that Tennessee was thin at various positions. I know Heupel alluded to the depth being better. How much better is it, and is it enough to have sustainability?
Well, I mean, it really depends on the position. I think they're going to be fine on offense. You know, the question is usually what's their depth at wide receiver, because it's obviously a pretty big key element to that offense. But Josh Heupel, there is a misconception he plays a lot of wide receivers and he needs a lot. He only plays three. He always plays three guys. He doesn't sub. The only time when they go to a fourth or fifth wide receiver is because of injuries. And I think they're going to have at least four or five good wide receivers. You know, on defense, you know, Josh Heupel talked a lot today at the first practices of spring drills, and he said they've got to find depth in the secondary. I don't think that's exactly what he means. I know what he's saying there. He needs starters and good backups, but their starters didn't cut it last year necessarily in the secondary. They had one of the worst pass defenses in the country. They did the year before that as well. I don't think they're looking as much as depth in where their weakest positions are. They're looking for talent and reliability, and that's especially in the secondary.
Talking to Adam Sparks from the News Sentinel, I know Tennessee is buzzing right now with the basketball team heading to New York, the women's team just underway. I know Heupel alluded to that at his press conference. I'm assuming that football is not back page, even though there's no such thing hardly anymore. But it is quite a whirlwind right now, is it not, in Knoxville with all the different activities going on?
It's football obviously is never the back page in Knoxville.
No.
but there is sort of this really good relationship between all these coaches right now that has not been at Tennessee, I would say, since probably the late 90s. Obviously, a lot of that goes to winning. But I've even found in, like, the Big Orange Caravan events that I cover in the summer, you have all these different personalities where, you know, there's the joke around Knoxville that Rick Barnes is the dad, and he's the veteran there, and his three kids, Tony Vitello and Josh Heupel and Kelly Harper. That's you have different personalities in those three. And the mixture of all those and the fact that they're so different and that they win in different ways, I think, has brought a new energy to this athletic department that they just, like I said, have not had in probably a quarter of a century.
Yeah, you mentioned Tony V. I slighted the guy that was literally the toast of Knoxville last spring.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, that's the cocky guy. Kelly Harper is the local in-state favorite. Rick Barnes is the guy that's been around forever and to some extent finally got over the hump in getting them back to the Sweet 16. There was obviously some criticism of him of how deep he could go into the tournament. I think there's a wide open door now for them to go deep into the tournament. And Josh Heupel's just sort of the outsider who's now the insider, because that's one thing you can do in football, I think, more so than any other sport at Tennessee. If you win, it's sort of like Nick Saban at Alabama. People are convinced that he's Southern, in Tuscaloosa. Some people in Knoxville tend to think that Josh Heupel just grew up down the road. And winning will do that, and that's how people feel about Josh Heupel now.
Adam, before you go, I remember last year, I think I talked to you, I saw you in right before the Alabama game, but I specifically remember the week of the Florida game when Tennessee was rolling along, but there was still this feeling of just, is this going to happen to us again against the Gators? This year, of course, that game down there, but Tennessee is now expected to do well. They're in the top 10. They had a big-time finish, not as far as, with the Clemson game. You look at the schedule, Virginia doesn't look overly difficult, but at Florida, and then you have South Carolina A&M. It gets a little more complicated in the second half. But just your thoughts on Tennessee, being among the hunted now in the SEC versus the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, they have holes on the roster just like anybody does. But I think if you look at the schedule, like you just mentioned, that this is a more manageable schedule. They could be worse this year and have close to the same record. They trade out at Pitt last year in non-conference, which is a top 25 team for Virginia and Nashville. Their cross-division game, you're trading at LSU to now at home against Texas A&M. You know, this is a team that if they plug enough holes, could get back to where they were last year, which is, you know, in the playoff hunt at least. I don't know if they'll get there. They got a lot of questions they have to answer, but they can get there. And, you know, a lot of people are celebrating right now the arrival of Nico Iamaleava, the five-star quarterback, probably the best recruit that Tennessee has had in over 20 years. And they look at, I think a lot of people look at this season as a bridge season. You were a playoff caliber team with Hendon Hooker and the arrival of Josh Heupel. Maybe you're going to be that again with this five-star quarterback in a year or two. You've just sort of got to bridge those two with Joe Milton and whatever they have left on the offense. And if they can get 8, 9, 10 wins this year, I think that will, you know, that's going to continue where they were last year.
Since you're more experienced, I'll just ask you about, I'll call him Nico just for fun. what's the expectation on him as we close down here?
It depends on who you ask. I think the most reasonable expectation is that he's going to play quite a bit as a backup to Joe Milton. They've got some games that they're going to win in blowouts, and he's going to get to show his talent. He's got all the talent in the world. I think he's still a freshman, and he's still going to be playing in the SEC. And so, you know, fast forward a year, and I think he could be absolutely the guy, not just at Tennessee, but one of the top quarterbacks in the SEC. I don't think it happens this year. I think there's immense talent. There's also going to be plenty of mistakes to keep him at least out of the starting lineup this year.
Great stuff. Adam, thank you. Look forward to talking to you again very soon. Adam Sparks from the News Sentinel as we head to the break. It has been an amazing show with Coach Yeo after the big win over Stanford, knocking off the number one seed. John Daly joining us. We went to Tuscaloosa with Ryan Phillips. Your phone calls the rest of the way.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And don't forget, tomorrow, Inside the Gymnastics Championship, SEC Inside. Been quite a show. Fantastic guests and some pretty good callers as well. But can anyone top Legend is up next.
Woo! Black Cat in the house, baby. East Coast. Paul, let me say what all of America wants to hear the legend say. Listen closely, America. I was wrong. Woo! That's right. I ain't tell the Tuscaloosa. I can admit when I'm wrong, baby. I can admit when I'm wrong. Woo! But let me tell you something, Paul. I ain't no Monday morning quarterback standing around the water cooler talking about, you know, bold predictions. I got the plums to be bold, baby. I got the plums to be bold. And that's what this show's about, ain't it, Paul? It's about bold prediction. Ain't that what it's about, Paul? That's
you better believe about, it. Anybody can waffle.
That's right. I put it out there before the game, baby. Let me tell you what Legend 5-4 says. Either walk like a king or walk like you don't give a damn who is king. Woo! That's the way I walk, baby. That's the way I live. I accepted I was crazy a long time ago. Just accept it. Life becomes easier, baby. I'm always going to be bold. Man, I love sports. I'm always going to put it out there. Let me say this about Tennessee, Paul. They play prison ball, don't they? I like what Miss Pat said. You got to put a helmet on when you play Tennessee, man. Duke needed Muhammad Ali's cut man 5 minutes into that game, didn't they, Paul? Man, yeah, you ever seen somebody bully anybody like that in a long time, Paul?
I take that back. Not since the last time you and Jim were on a phoner feud.
Let me say this about Jim, Paul. I looked online this weekend, and I seen online how he's just dogging me and you out, you know, talking I'm a legion and you're a legion and you're a devil and I'm a devil. Let me tell you something, Jim, in all seriousness, dude. Don't bark if you can't bite. Let me say that again to you, Jim. Don't bark if you can't bite, dude, because I'll bite your damn ear off. And listen to me, dude, real closely, so you know who I am. Yeah, I'll go to jail, and you'll go to the hospital. But I've been to jail before, Jim. In about 3 days, I'll be getting out because I've been there and I know how to get out. And in about 3 days, you'll be coming out of your hospital with your one ear. And let me tell you what's going to happen, dude. I'll meet you at the hospital door, and I'll bite your other damn ear off. That's who I am, dude. So you want to call me a legion and all that stuff? Call Paul a legion, talk about the greatest show in the world going to collapse. Let me tell you, that's who I am, dude. I'll bite both of them damn ears off, and you'll be the hearless wonder that you really are, because all you can do is bark. You got no damn bite. Now, Paul, let me address another caller. You remember last week on the last call of the show last Friday, Jerome came on talking about he didn't give a damn about Feinbaum, damn Feinbaum. He didn't give a damn about the legend, damn legend. You remember that call, Paul?
I do remember.
Let me tell you something, Jerome. You and fake-ass callers like Jim piss me off, dude. You wouldn't be nothing without Feinbaum but the idiot down on the corner. That's all you'd be, dude. That's all you would be. That's all Jim would be. I'm one of the few callers got enough sense to know the legend Dame would be nothing. I would be nothing but an ex-con unless this man actually gave me a voice, and I damn appreciate it. You want to come after me, Jerome? You want to be a badass? You want to come after the legend? You want to be the best caller in the bracket, brother? Then let me give you some damn advice. You get real close to the phone, and you listen. Are you ready? Put your wife on the phone. Woo! Put your wife on the phone. Because that's the best call that's come out of Jerome House this year is your wife. Maybe we'll get some bass on the phone then. Put your wife on the phone if you want to come after me, brother. Woo! Elvis ain't left the building. Legend has left the damn building.
Jim is next.
Yeah, Paul, you talk about me with him on the phone with you. I ripped his ass up and you know it. He's got nothing. He's nothing but a big mouth liar, a backstabber, a false phony, a fake propaganda artist. Nothing but crap, lies, and pure evil spirits. That's what that guy's got. And one day, as somebody told me the other day, he'll get his from the Almighty in heaven. That's where it's coming from. That liar, that guy that calls himself worshiping Saban over God, this is a lying scumbag. I know what I'm talking about. I can back it up. He knows it. He don't want none of me, period, verbally or any other way. He's a idiot, and all he's going to do is get himself back in prison where he should never have got out of. That's what I got, and ain't no Elvis about that guy. He ain't close to Elvis. It's infuriating to hear him compare himself to Elvis. That's the biggest lie, fraud, phony crap ever was. Yeah, Legion, you are a Legion, nothing but full of devils. That's what I got, Paul. That's a fact.
You still there, Jim? Well, didn't think you would be. AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
You had children, I'm talking about Jim's, yelling and screaming. That's some of the things that Legend said. You know, I do want to appreciate you for always taking my call. It's a total blessings, man. Everybody goes through a thousand things in their day life. Same thing as I do. I like to call in, give you a holler or two or 3 minutes. I like to have fun. I like to be entertained. So get on a phoner field. I want to laugh. That gets me motivated, Mr. Feinbaum. So put Legend, give him 30 minutes. I would take a restroom break while we are at it, because they're not even entertaining to me. Let me tell you who's entertaining, Mr. Feinbaum. You are. You're the most entertaining gentleman. They have you on SEC Network, which is I truly appreciate. Mr. Feinbaum, I love you, dog. I love
Thank you. John is up next in St. Louis. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today, sir?
John, fantastic.
Anyway, Paul, I want to make a comment, an opinion about Legend. And Legend is, he doesn't represent his state of Alabama very well. He comes off as a very opinionated, redneck person and epitomizes the old school of Alabama. I'm going to bring it up. Goes back and he sounds like the former governor, and you know who I'm talking about. And he needs to wake up and smell the coffee and quit talking like this and making a fool out of the SEC, because it's a disgrace. And Legend, you wake up, young man. Wake up.
Mike is up next in Los Angeles.
Entertaining calls by Legend and Jim and AC and Matt today. What a show, Paul.
Thank you.
Throw in John Daly to top it off. Wanted to talk about Duke had the number one recruiting class in basketball last year. 4 5 stars, 2 4 stars, and a 3 star, and they didn't make the field of 16. So for all the Calipari folks that are like, what should we do? Should we stay or should we go? A recruiting class doesn't really matter if you can't develop the talent and do something with it in March. So that's my two thoughts. And then regarding Adam and the Knoxville Sentinel, if you had to bet for $1 million, how many games you think Tennessee will win this year with A&M, Florida, Bama, South Carolina, and Kentucky? What's your best guess?
I'm between 9 and 10.
I'm 8 and 9, so okay. I guess I'm a bit of a pessimist. You're asking – where they kind of short in everything that I've read and followed. The secondary is still suspect. It was better than 2 years ago, but that's where we were vulnerable in Georgia and Alabama and everyone else. South Carolina just kind of took us out behind the woodshed. So we got to answer the questions. And Joe Milton, what's your thoughts on him?
I'm going to try to take the Clemson game out of the equation, because I think that was a little bit way too much interpretation of that game. And I like him. I know he's got raw ability, but I have to see more before I'm betting at all.
Yeah, on the Tennessee message boards all the last 2 years, the nickname, they call him Bazooka Joe. And, you know, the arm talent's unquestionable, but as of yet, we really haven't seen him with the screens and the touch and the passes across the middle. And Clemson, you know, there were several people that were going in the first round that didn't play in that game and that were injured. So it's an outlier. So 8 or 9 wins. I just wanted to get your thoughts. And did you ever think that Tennessee without Zakai Ziegler would have an actual chance?
No, I did not. And maybe I'm overly optimistic, because the bracket looks, the next game looks like a gimme. But I really feel good about what I saw. It's an overreaction, but I'm sticking with it. We'll take a break. A few minutes remaining on a manic Monday, if there's ever been one.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Update from Knoxville, 20-point game. Tennessee leads Toledo as the Vols on track to make the Sweet 16. Jeff is up next. Hey, Jeff. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's going on, Paul? Great show.
Thank you very much.
Disappointed with Kentucky this year, but that whole team wants to come back next. Calipari don't want it, but
yeah, he made it pretty clear he's fine if they don't come back, and some of that I'm sure has to do with the recruiting class. But Jeff, Cal is the master of the offseason. He's undefeated once March Madness is over. Hey, thank you for the call. AJ is up next.
Top of the morning to you, my brother.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I want to congratulate Pat today on her call. She has confirmed that she is tougher than Jim by far. She even sounds tougher than Jim, don't you think?
She does sound good.
I think she does. Hey, I ran into Legend this weekend down there at Birmingham at the ball games.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we hung out for a good while. And we was having such a good time, and we were talking about everything under the sun. I looked at my phone, and I said, Legend, man, it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning. I've got to go. He said, AJ, you ain't going nowhere. I said, why is that? He says, you know, everybody in Tuscaloosa knows that after 1 o'clock in the morning, it's Miller time.
I-Man is up next. Good afternoon.
Well, that was interesting. I wasn't expecting that.
Nobody was.
I was listening to your reporter, and you know, from Tuscaloosa. If he's going to give us a home cooking little recipe, he should have just brought a plate of dream lamb ribs. And I hope his writing is much better than his interview, because I couldn't figure out where the hell he was at and where he was going. He's kind of like Mike Dubus. He did not know. And the bottom line is, all this stuff's going to court someday. And I'll just live with all that then. I don't want to get into all the speculation anymore. You know, Paul, it's obvious you got a lot going on this program. And there's only one person available that can help all these guys, and that's Yoko Ono. She turned 91. And you know what? They can all put a bag over their head and scream, go to Toronto, and sing, all we are saying is just give peace a chance. Just give peace a chance, you wonderful man. You is a good man, Paul Feinbaum. You need to hook them each and every one of them up with Yoko Ono.
I'm doing that right now. Maybe the plastic Ono band. Larry is up next.
Hey, man, what's up?
How'd you like following Yoko Ono there?
Yeah, man, I believe in this election top year, man. I mean, you go in all in for Legion. I mean, that ain't right, man. You give them more airtime in the political platform than you do me and I, man.
Larry, everybody has an equal amount of airtime to make a point.
No, that's a lie. You know it, boy.
I've never cut you off when you're making a cogent point.
Oh yeah, when I'm making that, which ain't very often.
Well, that could be a factor. And I mean, we try to. We don't want to short circuit anyone, but we're trying to move the show along. I mean, we only have 4 hours a day to get all this in.
Hey, let me tell you something. I'm gonna get down to it. Cheerleader is hot. Is she made?
I have met Cheerleader on several occasions. She's a very wonderful woman, if that's what you're asking me.
She would meet a wonderful man if she met me.
Well, she's married. I know that for a fact.
Oh, well, is she happily married?
I don't know that for a fact. And by the way, Larry, I'm not suggesting just because she's married, that doesn't mean you can't, you know, be friendly with her.
Oh yeah, my man.
I mean, would you, Larry? Would you like? Would you like to meet cheerleader?
Sure, man. She's hot. I like to meet all of them, baby.
Sure. Cheerleader is a real estate agent in Mountain Brook. You know where that is.
Yeah, baby. I rub elbows with him.
Here's what I suggest, man. Larry. It's a sneaky way to meet her. You call her up and you say and tell her you'd like to look at a house and there you are.
Paul Feinbaum, that sounds like you've been there before, son.
That's how I met cheerleader. How'd you know that? We're out of time. We thank all of you for being a part of the program. John Daly joined us, Coach Yo, and some of these callers in recent few minutes. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.